And this is the last days and the day of the Lord. First, we must define the last days. Those of you here in the room are aware of this, but let's go on and make this plain so that other people can catch up to where we're at. In order to understand the truth of the last days, we must have a clear definition as to what they are. The definition is clear from Scripture. The concept of the last days is made plain in the concept of the last day. It was Jesus himself who made this concept plain. The last day is, in fact, the millennial reign of Christ. It's 1,000 years long. Revelation 20, verse 4, "And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years." 1,000 years. That's the length of, that's why it's called millennium, obviously, right? 2 Peter 3:3, "Knowing this first, that thou shalt come in the last day, scoffers, walking in their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and of the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by that same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. This one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. That one day with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, as some men count slackness, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth shall also, and the works therein shall be burned up." So it tells us, right after it tells us, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed by water. By the same word, this world, verse 6, seven, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men." It goes on to tell us that right after that, that the day with a day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day, in reference to that day. So the day of the Lord is 1,000 years long. Of this, we have no doubt, no reason to believe otherwise. Starts with Jesus' coming and ends with the great white throne judgment. So knowing that the last day is in this way, let's look at some details. When we speak of the day of the Lord, it brings to mind images and verses of God's wrath upon mankind and the return of Jesus as well. But it's much more than that. It is the rule and reign of Jesus over the earth for 1,000 years. It is the time of his return and our resurrection as promised in the Scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," that's the second coming, "and our gathering unto him," that's the resurrection, right, of the just. Both two components of the same thing, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or in troubled, or neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin revealed, the son of perdition. The Antichrist must be revealed first. So this is the day of the Lord, the day of Christ. It concerns our resurrection and his coming. But this day also concerns the wrath of God. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And you who are troubled, Paul tells the Thessalonians, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already heard that this world and everything in it will be burned up, right? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and that's the lake of fire, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, the resurrection, and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And in that day refers to the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord concerns both of these things. In the beginnings of that day, we who belong to Christ shall be resurrected. At the end of that day is the great white throne judgment. And all those who reject Christ and disobey his gospel will be punished with that everlasting punishment of the lake of fire. It's an eternal punishment of being put outside his presence, tossed in the lake of fire where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is that flaming fire. He comes to be glorified in his holy people in the resurrection, to punish and be glorified in his people, both in the same day. But it just so happens this day is 1,000 years long. In the beginning, we who will be glorified with him, and in the end, those who will be punished are destroyed, and the earth and everything in it is laid bare. Revelations 20:11, I saw a great white throne, and I seen him that sat on it, and those from whose faith the earth and heaven fled away. Notice what it says. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. Then I saw the dead and great, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not so found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelations 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have the right to eat of the tree of life, and may enter into the gates of the city. For without, in other words outside, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Matthew 8:10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, truly I say to you, I have not found so great a faith, and not in all of Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thrown into the lake of fire is the outer darkness. It is forever outside of the Lord's presence. It is the true wrath of God. It isn't just death in the body, but it is the second death. Revelations 20:14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Remember what Jesus told us. Matthew 10:26. Fear not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness and speak in the light, you, and what you hear in the ear, then preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, who are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. For those outside, it is full of wrath. So we can see that the day of the Lord is both one of peace for believers and woe to those who are judged. It is a true day of wrath. Isaiah 2, verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts will be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. How you, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Remember, a day with God is 1,000 years. This day will culminate in the judgment of everything, and therefore the destruction of everything. But it starts with the redemption of those who belong to Christ. For those who belong to him, it is our hope. 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication of you. Such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have this father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, but you rather have done this deed. But he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. See, we're looking for the resurrection in the day of the Lord, aren't we? If you can deal with your sins here, then there's hope there. But if you can't, there is no hope there, is there? Only a fearful looking for judgment. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but with by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward. For we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge. And I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end, even also you have acknowledged us in part, and we are rejoicing even as you also are rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus. So this is not to say that the day of the Lord will bring about physical destruction. It will. Great destruction. In that great day, the earth and all that is in it will be destroyed, but that's at the end. But that's not all. You must understand the true wrath of God reflected in the physical destruction of the second death. So let's talk about, there's two resurrections in the day of the Lord. It's seen as one resurrection because it's seen as one day. And this is something you've got to understand. It's seen as one resurrection because it's seen as one day. But it's broken down. The first fruits and then the whole harvest. Remember what we've talked about before. The first fruits are designed to show what the whole harvest will be. If the first fruits of the harvest are good, the harvest will be good. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we who are of those who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that down payment, that deposit, we're of the first fruits, and we will be raised when Christ, when he comes, at his coming. But the rest of the dead, as you've read in Revelation 20, live not again until the 1,000 years were ended. Let me read this for you. Revelation 20, verse 4, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So that's at the beginning. Those are the ones who were resurrected at the beginning of the day of the Lord. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's at the end, the great resurrection. So this is the first resurrection, the scripture tells us. Blessed and holy that he that has a part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. For they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. That those of the first resurrection are the Melchizedek priesthood. A lot of people don't know that. Those who have a part in the first resurrection are the priesthood. They're the ones totally dedicated to God. They are his portion. They are the first fruits of the harvest. And the first fruits belong to God. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and reign with him 1,000 years. But and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. All of these nations, all of these Gentile nations that are all throughout the earth, all of those people who have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, all of those who have been in the millennium the whole time, and when the ones who we have ruled and reigned over with Christ, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. They shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for battle, and the number whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of brimstone and fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then he sees the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. That's when heaven and earth are destroyed right there. Boom. Right? And there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the great resurrection. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. See, there's a great judgment for all the rest. But those of us of the first resurrection are not subject to that judgment. Did everybody see the difference? We're the ones dedicated to God. Melchizedek priesthood. And over all of these people who will be raised and judged, we are that priesthood. And the sea gives up its dead, and death and hell give up their dead, and then death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, and anyone who's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now notice that they're not cast into the lake of fire because of what's written in the books. They're thrown into the lake of fire because of what's not written in the book, their name. Right? Anyone who is not found written in the Book of Life is cast into the lake of fire. So there's variances of judgments. But the lake of fire is the last one. So Daniel makes plain this when he speaks that these two resurrections as if they were one event. He speaks of it this way because both happened in the day of the Lord. Just one at the end, one at the beginning. Daniel 12:1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. That's the great tribulation. To the same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. That's the book of life. Many of them sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. That's at the beginning, at Jesus' coming. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they shall be wise. They that wise shall be shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So you can see that what Daniel tells us in chapter 12, verse 1 here, of this vision, is just a generality. That at the end there will be a great resurrection. And tell us about those who will rise to glory and those who will rise to shame. But it's all seen as one thing. Because it is one thing. It's one resurrection. It's a single day. It is the day of the Lord. And this is something we have to make claim. Just like Jesus' coming can be seen as one thing. But you remember, we're a spirit and a body. That's what makes us a soul. His first coming brought us a reconciliation. His second coming brings us the redemption, our bodies. But the whole thing is done right through Jesus' coming. It's one thing, divided into two. The resurrection is one thing, divided into two. Because you are one thing, divided into two, aren't you? This is what the Apostle Paul says again to the Thessalonians. You who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When? When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe in that day, the day of the Lord. So Jesus himself spoke of the last day concerning our resurrection. It's also witnessed in Scripture that his followers believed and understood this. John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me, John 6:44, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 11:23. And Jesus said unto Martha, thy brother shall rise again. And she said, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So it becomes plain. The day of the Lord is a day of darkness for some and a day of rejoicing for others. It is a day of punishment and a day of rest, depending on which side you fall, huh? It is revealed in these two resurrections in clarity. As Peter tells us, the day of the Lord starts with Jesus' coming and ends with the great white throne judgment. The thousand-year day will bring about the destruction of the heavens and the earth. It is a day set aside for God to be glorified in his people and to punish the wicked with destruction and the second death. 2 Peter 3:7. Let me read this all together so you can hear it clearly. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I want you to notice that he talked about this day that's reserved for fire in the same context that he talks about the day of the Lord being 1,000 years long. A day with God is 1,000 years. So the Lord isn't slack concerning his promise. And he goes on to say that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, verse 10, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things will be dissolved, and what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What's the next thing that you see in Revelations 21? After it tells us in Revelations 20 that heaven and earth have fled from his presence and they're no more, and no place is found for them. We see a new heaven and a new earth, right? Same thing Peter says. We look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The thousand-year period is clearly the day of the Lord. The questions then can be posed, if the day of the Lord is 1,000 years, how are the last days themselves defined? If, in fact, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years long, does this hold true for the last days themselves? Absolutely. The following, we detail the truth of these last days in the final 3,000 years of Earth's history before it's destroyed. These 3,000 years, or 3 days, or last days, are defined by Jesus himself and started at his first coming. John 2:19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." We know that Jesus said this in reference to his body being the temple. And after 3 days, he did rise from the grave as he foretold in the morning on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15:4, when he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 3 days are symbolic of what was left of 7,000 years of creation. 7 days. 7 days according to Peter. Jesus came at the end of the first 1,000 years, or the fourth day. Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening and morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Hebrews 4:4. He spake in certain place on the seventh day of this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. That's funny that we're looking for a day of rest still to come, huh? But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So with this understanding, we can see that Jesus also had a larger context for his body, his temple, being raised on the morning of the third day. For we are his temple. We're his body, the church. And we will be raised from the dead on the morning of the third day, the last day, which is the seventh day of creation, the seventh day of the 7,000-year period, the millennium. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. 1 Corinthians 3:16. For you know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and a temple you are, which temple you are. Speaking of the church. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ephesians 2:27. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. All of these things should tell you that the church is God's temple. Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. He did, didn't he? He will. That's our hope. That's the resurrection. John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Remember, the last day is the millennium, the day of the Lord. It is the 7,000th year period of our history. In this fashion, it is the last day. We are at the end of 6,000 year period now. So we see 7 days overall, but the final three are called the last days. Revelation 20, verse 4, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. We just read all this. And for the word of God, they had not worshipped the beast or his image or had received his mark. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The last 3 days become clear in this context. If the last 3,000 years is 3 days, the concept is expressed in detail throughout Scripture. So we see that Jesus himself defined the last days. Another set of witnesses about how we define the last days comes straight from Peter in the book of Acts. Peter, when the Holy Spirit fell, he stood up with the 11, Acts 2, verse 14, lifted up his voice and said to him, "You men of Judea, and you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord." Get it? The last days. That's when they began. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That's when the last days began, right there. Can everybody see that? It'll come to pass in the last days. According to Peter and according to Joel, that is the last days, when the Holy Spirit is poured out. So pay careful attention to Peter's words. First he says, this sign of Pentecost is fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. And Joel says this is what happened in the last days. So the last days began when Christ, and the day of Pentecost proves it as a sign. Joel also spoke of the last day in which the sun would be darkened and the moon would not give her light, according to Jesus in Matthew 24 and John in Revelation 6. These are the events that immediately precede the day of the Lord, which starts the seventh day, or the millennial reign of Christ, or basically the third day since his coming, right? Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from the heavens, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Revelation 6:12, and I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun came black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, when she's shaken with a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll and was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. For the great day, verse 17, has come, and you shall be able to stand. It's all there, isn't it? Now look at Joel's testimony again. Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show you wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. So we have a derivation here between the last days and the last day, according to both Peter and Joel. So notice how, according to Joel and Peter, the sign of the last days had begun with Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the last day. It was preceded by events and signs that do not occur until after the tribulation. That's what signs the end of the tribulation, is the sun turning black and the moon to blood and the stars falling from the sky and so forth. This shows us that the last days are each 1,000 years long. It has been 2,000 years approximately since Pentecost. 2 days. And we're on the verge of the third day, 3 days, known as the day of the Lord. The last days and their biblical context is now made clear. But if you look at it all together, there's a total of 7 days. From Adam's creation till now, it's been 6 days. And we're on the verge of the seventh. Since Jesus came, there was 3 days left. He came on the morning of the fourth day at the 4,000-year mark, right? And there's three days to go. And 2 days have passed. Now we're on the verge of the third day. It all comes out the same, doesn't it? 1,000 years with God is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. I think that the scriptures are very clear on this point. So we have defined both the last day and the last days according to the scriptures. We're going to begin to apply all of these understandings. This is a good place to stop for now. Questions or comments, please feel free.